What up, Grizz Nation, and welcome back to another episode of Grizz 901. I'm your host, Daniel Greer, and we are presented to you by Bluff City Media. We have a fun show for you tonight. We're going to get into all of the things that are surrounding the playoffs. We're going to kind of explain a little bit of how they relate to the Grizzlies. We're going to somehow tie it in. We have no clue what we're going to do, but we are going to talk about the playoffs. We're going to go through every single matchup that there is, but also discuss how we're looking at them for the Grizzlies, what guys we might be looking at, but also how does it affect the Grizzlies when we are full strength next year? It's going to be a lot to talk about, but you know what? We got one guy. Let's go ahead and bring in my main man, Nate. Yo, yo.
Crazy that Bobby Portis is still in the game. So shout out to Bucks fans. That's better than last game.
Baby. So he's still playing. He's like doubling his time at the moment. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. I get it.
He turned from crazy eye Bobby Portis into crazy guy Bobby Portis.
I like it. All right. So if you're here, thank you all for joining us. We're going to try to have a good time as always. It's going to be a fun night. We're going to look through a lot of what's happening. Listen, I have on one screen, if you can see it, here we go. I got a basketball game, and on my other screen, I have the Braves, the baseball game. And so Nate's got his little screens. Listen, I'm thankful to have two kids. They both had iPads. Santa is the best, and this is my two screens as we go throughout most of the nights. And then hey,
that's my second screen. Let the record show, I had the hiccups before I poured a drink tonight. Just to be very clear. Just want to be really clear about that.
Well, I have a coughing issue. I've been under the weather, but you know what? I have a mute button when we need to go cough for sure. All right, let's go ahead and talk about the playoffs just in general. And this is something that we're going to call the hot topic. And right now we're going to talk about the hot topic that is the NBA playoffs. If you have any suggestions, if you have anything, hit us up in the comments, as we always do. Listen, this isn't going to be as filled of an episode as a post-game show is. But we don't want to get out of practice. We don't want to leave out, you know, a lot of our friends, the Grizz fam that it is. We don't want to leave it out completely. So, but if you have anything, hit us up in the comments. I'd love to be able to discuss maybe thoughts and that you're looking at. But we're going to go through mostly all the playoff games. We're going to go through the game that is live right now. That just started here recently. That's Pacers Bucks. So, you know, I know you were talking a little bit about Bobby Portis, that he is playing the game. But what about Bobby? Like, is there anything else with Bobby, but anything else with this series that interests you at all?
Interest me?
Interest you?
No.
Okay.
No. Like, shout out to the Pacers taking care of business. Like, they have done what they should do given the scenario. It's not the series that you wanted it to be, though. I mean, without Giannis, I already said it on the first show after Dame absolutely spanked the Pacers. I think it was before game two, our last show was. I came on here and I was like, I think the Pacers are better than this team without Giannis, right? It's just not the same team at all. And then obviously Dame goes down. I think I text you as soon as it happened. I was like, dude, they're cooked. There's just no chance after that. They don't have the horses. So, no, it's not interesting. I mean, I love Bobby Portis. That's about it. So,
yeah.
There's nothing, no knock on the Pacers in that, right? They've done what they should do, like we said. It's just the series is what it is.
Yeah. And that's the biggest thing. Literally, the series is what it is. Like, it's been boring.
Yeah.
And the only thing that's been interesting at all has been the fact that we're looking at the Bucks and the Pacers game, and you're talking about two teams that literally we have the Bucks who have their two superstars injured. We have the Pacers team who is playing okay. Like, they've shown that they can play, but we know what they're running into the next series. Like, we know it. Like, they have zero chance in the next series. And so it's like you can see the writing on the wall, and you just feel like you're just not excited about it. But yeah. It is what it is.
Let's talk about the game that just happened, man. Let's talk about what we should be talking about. First off, Tyrese Maxey.
Mm.
I mean, that is one of the most insane final minutes, clutch performance, shot making situations I've ever seen in my life. Yeah. That was insane. So it's crazy. But also, why doesn't either one of those teams want to close out the game? Philly blew game two in New York. New York tried to blow game four in Philly. They left like 18 different doors open, and the Sixers just couldn't walk through any of them. Then they do blow game five, and the Sixers kind of tried to blow game five back in overtime. It's all just like unbelievable. Yeah, I know. It's like your house on a Friday night in college. It was just awful late game execution. It's just been terrible. So, I mean, it's like it's been an awesome series. Both teams have awesome players. Embiid is like beyond not right. You know, it's clearly something's unbelievably off with him. But neither team looks like they know how to close out a game. It's like, it's been brutal to watch.
Well, as one Tiger B says, like Philly just put the smack down the Knicks tonight. And that's really, I'm not saying they put it down on them, but the fact is that you go into New York and win is big. The fans celebrating up six to go. And then Maxey, as you just talked about, like just completely showed out. Like,
yeah,
I got a question. And then this is no hate either way. And I feel dirty asking this question. I really,
it's not a good start.
It's not a good start at all. Maxey or Bane?
Ooh,
like I said. I feel dirty asking it, but they're both phenomenal. So no matter who you pick, you can argue either way.
Yeah, I mean, I think being a Grizz fan pushes me over the top for Bane. I think if I wasn't a Grizz fan, though, probably Maxey. Remember when you got all up in me this past summer, pause, when I was talking about how I said I thought Maxey was probably better than Bane? And you and I think someone else were like laying into me about how ridiculous that was.
It is ridiculous.
It is such an honest conversation. It really is. Like, what Maxey has done has, I think, elevated him above Bane sort of as is. But I think if you put Bane on that Sixers team, could Bane be as impactful? Probably. But I still think Maxey probably is a better facilitator, better handles, kind of is able to get other guys into the offense better than Bane currently, which is probably what I would say is puts him just a step above.
Okay.
Bane's obviously gotten a lot better at facilitating, but Maxey can play like a true point guard at this point. Bane's still not that, you know?
Yeah, so that's what I was going to point out. And I don't want to belabor the point too much, honestly, because they're both phenomenal, both great. I think if you put either one on either other team, not much of a drop-off. I think their fit is the biggest thing. So riddle me this. I think you have to have the ball more in Maxey's hand as the point guard type. I don't think that fits as well in Memphis because I think he needs the ball more compared to, you know, you have John on the team. Yeah. You're kind of fighting over the ball a little bit. I don't think the fit's there. I think both can excel in either way, either team. But I just think that the fit where they're at, they fit perfectly because Bane doesn't need the ball. He can dribble drive. He can also just be a guy who can just shoot the lights out. And I think that's the difference. So we'll see.
Man's more of an underrated defender too.
Yeah. Hey, let's talk about two people real quick. Drew is in the comments. Shout out to the $2 sports show it's $2 sports show. Mitchell Robinson is on the trade block after that foul on Maxey.
Whatever it takes. Push the agenda, Drew. Let's get it started. That got our guy Desert Squirrel in here. Hartenstein, just to start pushing all the agendas.
Hartenstein, did the Grizzlies still on the table? The Knicks blow this?
Sure, I mean, I think it's on the table anyways. One of these guys is on the table. We just don't know which one yet.
Well, the thing is, like, listen, Mitchell Robinson's under contract. Isaiah Hartenstein, not under contract.
Agreed. One of them's going to be on the table.
Something has to happen. They're not going to sign Isaiah Hartenstein to a very good contract that he probably wants if Mitchell Robinson's still on the team. Like, You don't go after and go get both these guys and sign them to a decent size deal. It doesn't happen. But anyway, all right, let's go ahead and move on to the next one. And this is the game that is happening right now as we speak. And that is the Magic and the Cavs. The Magic and the Cavs are 87-85 with roughly 7 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. The series is tied 2-2. And so this is a series that every home team has won. Any thoughts on this game?
if this game goes Magic, I think our boy JB's in trouble.
Wow.
I do.
Wow.
I do think that's because the Magic are a super fun team, and they are like crazy good defensively. I don't think there's any reason they shouldn't be competing. The Cavs should win this series.
Mm.
Like, the Cavs should win this series. They have the better overarching talent, and all the experience is on the Cavs side.
Yeah.
All of it.
Yeah,
so
but
they should win this series.
Jared Allen's out of the game tonight, right? And so I think the Evan Mobley stuff that we've heard in the past, all right, Jaren's better than Evan Mobley, right?
Yes. Sorry. Yeah. Not a conversation. Yes.
Not a conversation anymore, which is phenomenal. Listen.
Pinky's up to that.
I hate the whole like backwards like compliment or whatever. I love Evan Mobley. I think Evan Mobley can be really, really good. I think that he's had his growth stunt in a little bit because maybe Jaren Allen's right there. Maybe because there's really good guys on his team. And so he's developed a little bit slower. He hasn't had to been the guy. I still think that before this season, Evan Mobley and Jaren is, they're still pretty close. I think we saw an ascension out of Jaren this year with Team USA. He played very well at times, very bad at times. He was trying to work himself, trying to figure himself out in different ways. But also, like, this season with the Grizzlies, he looked like he can be a guy who can take the next step. And so, but yeah, Evan Mobley's still great, but still, you know, a double-double tonight. 11 rebounds, 10 points.
I was about to say, take, like, the Jaren story should be indicative of how we view Mobley now, which is the book is far from written on Evan 100%. Mobley. And it's the Donovan Mitchell coming over there, I think, as much as it helps the Cavs as a team, probably hurts what you were talking about Mobley's development, because now you've got Garland and you've got Donovan. Jared Allen just fits no matter what, like, he's going to be involved. And so Mobley's kind of the last guy. It's kind of like, okay, now where do I fit into this? That being said, I don't think that'll be a problem he has to worry about much longer. I don't think Donovan Mitchell's long for Cleveland. But, yeah, I think that is another interesting series for the Grizzlies, though, because if they don't get it out of the first round, think they're standing pat. Now, again, Jared Allen is one of those guys who kind of just fits wherever. But at the same time, like, you're going to mix it up. You're probably not trying to get rid of Mobley. Maybe Donovan's gone. Maybe it's just that's run its course. Probably not getting rid of Garland, if I had to guess, unless something crazy was happening. What else are you going to do? People don't want Okoro. Not really. People maybe will want Max Strus because he's a shooter. I can see there being a market for him. But Jared Allen is probably the best piece that's on the table. And he's under contract still, or is he free agent?
Jared Allen's under contract.
Under contract. So that's a piece for you to work with. So Grizzlies, maybe. I don't know. Is he 20 mil?
I believe so. I think he's right at it.
A little high, but who cares? Free money to me.
Hey, however they can make it work. It doesn't matter to me. Ryan's got some thoughts in here. The coaching jobs this summer that could be more interesting than the actual free agency. Like, there's going to be a lot of good teams, potentially good teams, with jobs opening. He's saying that the Suns, Cavs, Lakers, Bucks, Pelicans. All right.
Yeah.
Suns job opening?
Maybe, because they have to pretend that it's not.
Bro, they're already – already piling on.
It's ridiculous. Vogel. Yeah. The same thing. Poor Vogel gets away from LeBron and still is the scapegoat. Shout out Darvin Ham. Michael Malone just sitting there standing for him last night. Vogel, they're going to pretend like it's Vogel's fault that they spent $150 million on three players that never made sense to put together.
Yep.
Okay. That might open up. Cavs, I think there's a real possibility that opens up if they flame out in the first round again. Like, that just shouldn't have happened last year, and you really should not have happened this year. So we'll see. I mean, they could make it out of the first round, be fine. All of a sudden, that's a non-story. But if they flame out, I think that's an issue. Darvin Ham is the latest LeBron victim. For all the people who want LeBron in Memphis, I don't know what you've been watching the past 5-10 years, but no thanks. And then Doc Rivers, I don't even know. Did he coach the Bucks this year?
He tried.
I'm not sure he did. I think he's just kind of there.
So hold on.
Yeah,
so
they're really green with the Pelicans is tough.
So they're about to potentially fire a coach that they hired year one to hiring another guy midway through. I think they gave him a 3-year deal. I can't remember exactly how many years it was. That had to give him a decent amount of money. Like, that doesn't go to the salary cap. Not a big deal. That goes to the straight to the owner. The owner pays whatever the salary is, the owner pays. Like, it comes out of his pocket in the end. Well, and so you just get rid of him and go on and move another one?
Look at all these. Outside of the Cavs, every single one of these teams has the same problem, which is no point guard play.
Yeah.
Every single one of these teams that's listed right here has no point guard play. I was looking at it before. I was like, who's been eliminated? And I was like, Suns, Lakers, Pelicans. Let's assume Bucks are not going to make it.
Yeah.
Thinking
you can assume that one for sure.
Yeah.
But both of those guys hurt.
No point guard play, man, for any of those teams. You got Dame, but like when it got to the playoffs, you had no point guard play left.
Yeah.
Really. And Dame's always been a scorer first. He's never been like the true point guard. I think the true point guard matters, man. I think it matters to all these teams. And you're seeing a lot of it come out with teams that can't get into their offense because they don't have a point guard, which is why we're lucky that our star player is a true point guard. True point guard.
I love it. So,
anyways, that's just something I've noticed with all these teams. Like, it's crazy how these teams can't get into an offense in the playoffs.
Yeah. No doubt. All right, let's go ahead and keep it moving. We don't want to spend too much time, but, you know, listen, if you got anything, we'll be more than happy to talk through it and decide, you know, if we can discuss a little bit more about it. But let's go ahead and talk about the Heat Celtics. This is going to be the last East matchup. We want to do those first because there's less interest in them according to the Grizzlies side because there is some. But there's not as much as there is in the West. And the West, they're mainly all over, right? Every West matchup is over except for the Mavs and the Clippers. Let's go ahead and talk about the Heat and the Celtics.
Dude, this East just got a lot more interesting. Tatum rolled an ankle. Porzingis is out indefinitely.
Yeah.
That team is completely different animal with Porzingis.
Yep.
So all of a sudden, it's like whoever makes it out of that Knicks-Philadelphia matchup, the future looks a lot brighter, right? I mean, there's a chance the East opens up before Porzingis is out, right? And even if he comes back, he's not going to be fully healthy. It's not what you're going to be getting. From what it looked like, do we know if it's a calf strain? What was it?
I don't know. I think it's I know he's I know what's his face. Woj said something about it.
Whatever it looked like, if it was a calf, high risk of re-injury. Just saying, the East is like, East just got wide open, if that's the case. Celtics should still win their way through there, but you don't know. Maybe Tatum's ankle is limiting him. Like,
what's a soleus strain?
Soleus is a muscle that goes on the outside of your calf. I think it runs all the way up your calf to your hip. Pretty big muscle, I think. Or maybe it's a bigger calf muscle. It's a calf muscle for sure.
We got any doctors in here? Like, listen, I'm a dummy. I don't need to be talking about
that. I know soleus because I've pulled every muscle you can in the lower body. So that's the only reason I know it's definitely in your calf somewhere. But, I was thinking the other one. Yeah, it's your calf. Anyways, high risk of re-injury if he's able to come back at all. I mean, Giannis isn't playing. Giannis had a calf strain for a while now. He's still not playing. So it's just really interesting. As far as that series go, I still think there's – no way the Celtics don't close that out. But East in general.
Yeah.
Who knows? Only thing that matters with the Celtics is X is probably going to re-sign here in free agency. That's
all. How all right. Let's I don't want to talk about more about the Heat Celtics, honestly, at this point. Like, it's just kind of boring to me because there is so many injuries, but let's be honest. Like, the next series is going to be the major series because both of those guys are hurt. We don't know how bad they are. I want to ask a question, like, did we overvalue a lot of our players? Like, I know we did. That's a stupid question. We're fans. But, like, X doesn't play. David Roddy rarely played when he went over there. Like, rarely. And he was playing, like, decent minutes for us when we were actually a good team. Does that say anything to you as maybe they were better fit for our system? Or maybe we weren't as good and we were having to play those guys. Like, but we weren't worse than the Phoenix Suns. The Phoenix Suns were not good at any point this year. And what they brought off the bench was trash.
But the Suns were broken, period.
So they just didn't go with – they didn't try anything.
Yeah, it's kind of like you have Bradley Beal and you have Devin Booker and you have Kevin Durant, and then you just put people in there as warm bodies outside of that. And they went with vets. They went with vets. That's what they did. That's why Josh Okogie got minutes before David Roddy. Right, they're running with vets. It's what you, Royce O'Neal.
Royce O'Neal's not bad.
No, but it's rather uninspiring. Like, maybe not as uninspiring as if you have a contract like Tobias Harris, but uninspiring basketball. Yeah,
for sure.
But it's like they're just rolling with vets. It's what they were doing. It's what all these teams are doing, man. You have specialists, great role players, vets.
Yeah.
That's why I harp on the Grizzlies needing vets.
Yeah. All right, let's keep it. Let's keep rolling. Magic and Cavs. Magic are 95 to Cavs 97 with 3 minutes to go in the game. So it's tight. We're gonna see about that one. So all right, let's go to let's before we leave the East. Magic and Cavs. Who wins the series? You can't wait till the game ends. Like it's tied.
I know.
Usually, when we come back to you in like 10 minutes or something.
I think Magic. I just can't scratch the feeling the Cavs aren't going to be able to close it out. It just feels like one of those where the Magic will close it out. I don't feel confident in either team to be able to close it out, but I think defensively the Magic have shown me something, so I'll go Magic.
All right, I'm going to go Cavs. I think Cavs win tonight. I think Magic win game 6, come back, Cleveland grabs game 7. I think home teams win every single game. And I think the reason is because there's a lot of young players on both sides. I think the home crowd does help, and I think that's where we're going to be at. So we'll go on both sides of it. But, yeah, I think it's a good series. I hope it goes 7. I really do.
Same.
Because next series, I don't know if it actually is going to matter. I don't even know who they would play. Who would they play? Pacers?
Celtics, right? This is the 4-5?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, they go to Celtics, so it doesn't matter. I wouldn't say it doesn't matter because if Tatum's hurt, that's a big deal. Porzingis, yes, obviously a big deal, but not as big of a deal as Tatum. Tatum's really hurt. I don't think he is, but if Tatum's really hurt, or if he's hampered, then we'll have issues. All right, let's go to the West. That is the Mavs and the Clippers. Let's go through this a little bit. Best series so far.
Love it. Other than we got to see the Lakers get sent home, so like that. That's pretty. Oh, that's a good series. But yeah, I think this one has been more entertaining, so it's better. I think this Magic Cleveland has probably been the best series. Feels like a lot of like haymakers back and forth. I think Mavs Clippers has been more entertaining though, right? And you never know what's going to happen. You just had no idea what's going to go on. Westbrook pulled, I think, like he was in another planet the game that they lost to the Mavs. I mean, I don't know what he was doing. I've never seen him lose control like that. Luka got under his skin, clearly. But then they come back, go up by 31, and then the Mavs crawl all the way back and then somehow blow it anyways. It's a fun series. It's a huge entertainment factor.
Absolutely. Anything from the fact that the two games the Clippers have won, Kawhi Leonard has not played.
Yeah, he's not right.
So he's worse playing than he actually, I guess, helps him. Or is it their team just one less superstar, the ball to stick with, that helps them, it helps the flow of the offense?
Yeah, I mean, if you have Kawhi out there, he has to have the ball. Like, you have to give him the ball. Also, defensively, that's where he hangs his hat. If you've got a lower body injury that is messing with you that much, you can't do either one of those things very well. And then they can't get into a full team offense. They can't let everything flow like it needs to. Defensively, it breaks down because one of your best defenders, one of the best defenders in the world, all of a sudden can't defend because he's hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just doesn't work. Yeah. Just doesn't work. So, yeah, I mean, good on them for getting him out of there.
Yeah. All right. Prediction on this, and then I've got a question for this Bucks-Pacers game. But prediction on the series. Who wins, Mavs, Clippers? Just tied 2-2.
I got to go Mavs because James Harden plays for one of the teams who has played very well. Let me add. I'll acknowledge that. But James Harden plays for one team and Luka Doncic plays for the other. So I'm going to go Mavs. And they have not – I still am not convinced they figured out the Kyrie with Luka thing. Mm-mm. But they have figured out how to just make Kyrie work and how to make Luka work at different times. That they're making that happen. Yeah. So – and Luka has just owned the Clippers. It's just been sort of in his DNA at this point. So I'll go Mavs.
I'm big on the Mavs too. I think the Mavs can win this game. I think that they are the better team. I don't think they played up to their best. Like, they haven't had their best game yet. And I do believe that you could argue that the Clippers have had their best game. I think that they have played well. They played a little bit over their head. I think that we're going to come back and look at a Mavs team that finally shows up. We'll see. I think game five is going to say a lot about this series, and I wouldn't doubt if it goes 5-6 for the Mavs. And it's a little 4-2 game. Question about the game that we're watching right now, the Pacers and the Bucks. If I had to say, one person just got into a shoving match.
Crazy guy, Bobby Portis.
No, it was not him, but there's somebody Brooke else Lopez. Crazy. Somebody else crazy on his team.
It wasn't Brooke Lopez. You might
have forgotten he's on the team.
Oh, Pat Bev.
Obi Toppin's got the ball. He's standing on the side, and all of a sudden, Patrick Beverley needs the ball right now. So he's practically playing a hidden ball trick, and Pat Beverley is not going for it. He needs the ball. He's going through him, and Obi Toppin just shoves him off like, bro. Chill.
Well, they also have Jay Crowder. There's a lot of dudes on that team that I could see getting in a shoving match. So I'm not watching that game, though. I got this Orlando-Cleveland game on.
Yeah. Update on Orlando-Cleveland.
98-100 Cleveland. Yep.
Wow.
With the ball and a minute left.
Wow. All right. Keep us up to date. As soon as you see some breakthrough on that, let us know. We're going to go to the three matchups that have been completely – dominated, completely done with. Thunder Pelicans.
Man.
Go ahead. Just
stupid
go.
Ass Kings. What's wrong with y'all? How did the Kings not beat this team, dude? How did they not beat that team so we have to watch that crap series? Like, again, no knock on the Thunder for this specifically. They took care of business where they should have taken care of business. But, like, dog, am I impressed that they swept the Pelicans? No. What were they doing? The Pelicans, I'm like, you don't – Brandon Ingram looks like he's out in FIBA again. CJ McCollum has never been an actual point guard. Like, without Zion, that series was never going to be a series. Oh, it was gross. And I'm like, the Kings would have made it such a better series. The Kings could have beat the Thunder maybe.
Yeah.
Like, the Thunder are better, but could they have given them a fight, possibly beat them? Yeah. Instead, we had to watch that.
Yep.
Could we miss two players? I'm mad at the Kings. I'm mad at the Kings about it. The beam should just be banished for making us watch that series.
Speaking of, okay, let's tie it in the Grizzlies.
Banish the beam.
The beam was very good last year, right? One of the best teams in the league. This year took a step back. A lot of people predicted that. I did not see that they would take as big of a step back as they took. Yeah. What's next for the Kings? Because obviously they lost to the Pelicans without Zion, and they honestly didn't even make the playoffs. They lost in the play-in. But what says you about that? Because we're talking about pretty much the exact same team. It's Sabonis. It's Fox. Malik Monk did get hurt, and so I don't want to take away too much from him. But you have a lot of the same guys, Harrison Barnes, Kevin Herter, who was hurt as well. So there are key guys, but it wasn't their main guys. And that's what I always say. About. As long as it's not your main two or three, then you should be able to win tough games here and there. Not consistently, but you should be able to win enough tough games. What say you about the Kings for the future?
I don't think they're a bunch of big moves away. I think they need to get a little bit bigger, brawnier, probably.
Brawnier.
Yes. Well, because when you think bigger, they've already got some big wings, right? They got Trey Lyles. They've got Keegan Murray. They've got some bigger wings, but they don't have any true bruisers, right? They don't lose the rebounding battle, though, because Sabonis is so awesome. But If I was him, I wouldn't do anything crazy. I'd probably try and come off of like a Herder or something. Or Monk's a free agent, so actually maybe you want to keep Herder because you need the shooting. But I don't think they're anything crazy away. I think everybody that called the drop-off, they had some really poorly timed injuries.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't feel like when I watched the Kings, they were significantly worse than they were last year. I thought that they did have some injuries to key players in all seriousness. But same thing, when you come off of Fox, the point guard play is not really there, right? It's like when you go to the bench, there's a huge deficit there, which is going to be the case for a lot of teams when it comes to point guard play. But I think you augment a little bit. Other than that, they can kind of run it back. I think they have a really good core in Sacramento, to be honest.
Yeah. I think they are just kind of a good regular season team when it comes down to it. I don't think they have the firepower that really gets them over. If you look at their team, I think the makeup, there's no dynamic like play to it. Like, it is very good. And it's like a bunch of jabs. If you're a boxing, you know, in a boxing match, it's a bunch of jabs. And that's what Sabonis is. He just kind of jabs you. But like, when it comes down to it, I don't think they have the haymakers that you really have to have, especially when playoff basketball.
If the shooting's not there, they're in trouble.
Oh, like, big time.
Like, Fox won Clutch Player of the Year last year for a reason. Like, they have the guy when it gets down into it, and they have two guys that are both all-star caliber players that they can count on, right? So I think that they have firepower. It's just one of those same things. Like, very few teams have been able to historically win with their jump shots.
Yeah.
Right. It's been like the Warriors and that's it, you know? Right. So outside of that, what are you going to do if the shots aren't falling? They don't really have an answer for that. But when the shots are falling, they'll beat anybody.
Wow. All right. So
yeah, I'm watching that Magic Cavs. I got a little distracted.
Speaking of Evan Mobley, I think it was, Franz Wagner going up to the rim.
What a block.
And Evan Mobley met him at the summit, got there, and God, what a beautiful block. Like, he was chased down. It was a kind of a double team in a sense where he got over a pick by Max Strus. And then Evan Mobley, he went by Evan Mobley, caught up to him, and was able to pretty much right when he releases the ball off, like to go off of the backboard, Evan Mobley is at least a foot above the rim. It looked like he was way up there, and his hands just looked ginormous and just blocks it.
It was unreal timing. It was awkward, like off the wrong foot too.
Yes.
Great timing on that block.
Yep. It was great. All right. You're freezing again, which is awesome. I love that. I love that for you. Let's go to the next matchup. So we think that the Thunder plays we think the Thunder plays the Mavs, right? Is that what you're guessing? Would you pick the Mavs or the Clippers over the Thunder in the next series?
See, this is weird because I would say Clippers for sure. And I think yes to Mavs. But it's a different kind of matchup. I think that the Mavs have a bunch of grown-ass men that will bully the Thunder, right? Outside of Lou Dort, who cannot be bullied by anyone on the face of the planet. But the Mavs have Luka. They definitely have some bigger, stronger, more experienced dudes. But it's not the same. Like, everybody on the Clippers has been around the block. Paul George, Russell Westbrook, James Harden. Kawhi, if he's playing, Zubac, Norman Powell, really Terrence Mann's the only one I can think of that I would say hasn't, you know. And whereas
he's a dog, though.
He is, but it's just, but the same thing. The entire team is like that. Whereas Mavs, I can easily look at a guy and see him being a weak link on a given night. Clippers is harder for me to see that. You know what I mean?
I got you. I like it. I think that. I really do think the Mavs could take it over the Thunder. I just don't. I don't know what the Thunder will be able to do. I think that I don't think Chet has been a big issue in any of these series because it's really going to be SGA or bust for them personally. But Williams has been good. Whatever his name is. Yeah.
Bringing it back to the stupid ass Kings. We don't know what the Thunder are because that series barely, I mean, I don't want to like same thing. I'm truly not trying to knock the Thunder here, but like that series barely counts. The Pelicans looked, the only team that's looked more dysfunctional than the Pelicans so far has been the Suns.
Mm.
That's it. So it's like, I don't really know what to think about the Thunder in their first postseason series. Great job. Kudos. You took care of the job in front of you, got the sweep, but I'm like, against who?
Yeah.
You know, the Pels without Zion, it's uninspiring.
Well, that's what I'm curious about it, is if it's more about the Pelicans than it is the actual Thunder, but we're going to find out for sure. All right, let's go to our next matchup, and that's the Lakers and the Nuggets. Obviously, we see it was a gentleman's sweep. The Lakers were in a lot of the games. If I had to ask you the question, hand to heart, is that more about the Nuggets disinterested? Or is it about the Lakers actually being really good and just kind of gave it to the Nuggets?
The Lakers, I thought, played well. I did. Okay. So, obviously, they didn't have their usual game plan advantage, which is free throws at their disposal. But they did genuinely play pretty well. I think that there's a lot of people mad on the Lakers fan side of things, and I really like, you don't really have much to be mad at. Like,
yeah,
I thought they gave their best shot pretty much every game that series, which is why they were up at half, why they were up double digits every game. You know, that's why that happened. You just went up against a team that is much better than you. And I do think that the Nuggets looked disinterested and almost like they were trying things.
That
was probably the worst we've seen the Nuggets in the past 2 years, in my opinion.
Okay.
During that series, which is crazy because a gentleman swept the Lakers doing that. But that being said, you're just at a deficit as a Lakers. You just don't have what the Nuggets have. You're just not as good. And so I thought they played well. There's truly, and I mean, you know, I'll take every shot I possibly can at the Lakers. There's really nothing, in my opinion, to be ashamed of other than the typical things you should be ashamed of, just general Lakersdom. But yeah, I thought they played well. The Nuggets did look disinterested. And let me tell you something. I do think, asterisk, you're going to see a much more engaged, locked-in Nuggets team from here on out.
Okay.
I can't imagine you don't see a switch flip with them. All that to say, if they don't flip the switch, Minnesota's sending them home.
Mm.
That's happening if they don't flip the switch. Minnesota has looked hands down like the best team in the playoffs so far.
Wow. Okay.
Now, maybe it's because they played the gross-ass Suns who have no point guard play and like look terrible other than one game where they actually made shots.
Yeah.
But they have looked awesome. Their defensive rotations, they are locked in, as my camera freezes. But they are locked in.
Bro, and so,
and they have the build of a team that can compete with anybody. They are a diverse team. And so I do think the Nuggets lock in. I do think the Nuggets win the series. But if they don't lock in, Minnesota is going to win that series because Ant is on the rise. And he's not slowing down.
Mm, I like it. No, Ant has been absolutely crazy good. And he has the killer mentality right now. Right now he's talking about like being the killer instead of being like the person who's being hunted. Like he is going to be the hunter right now. I love everything about Ant. We love everything about Ant. How much does it say that we love in Memphis Ant so much? I think Ant has Ant from Memphis, from the 901. Ant is your cousin, right? That you like fully embrace. Like he's like, that's my guy. Like I'm gonna ride for him. Listen, he's over there doing his own thing, whatever. Like we don't talk much, but that's my family. And then you have your brother on his same team in Mike Conley. That is family. We speak all the time. We have blood. Like we've cried together. But then they hang out with these other two dudes that normally
then you got the in-law.
We wouldn't talk to. We would never talk to them. But because our cousin and our brother, they might like them, we put up with them. That is literally how this is going to be. Like, this is exactly what this Timberwolves team is. Like, they are those dudes. And I can't stand Cat and Gobert, but man.
Honestly, I don't have as much disdain for Gobert as I used to. And to his credit, he has shown me more defensively this year than he has in years past. Like, as far as the Defensive Player of the Year stuff goes, people want Wemby. I get that. But I think this is probably the most deserving he's ever been of an actual Defensive Player of the Year. Because
they're good?
Well, because they're good, but also because he actually defends outside the paint. Like, he will switch on the guys on the perimeter this year. And listen, like, we have not been afraid to speak our minds on dudes on this show, but we also make a point of giving credit where credit's due. And credit to Gobert. I don't have to love him, but I've seen him get on the perimeter and switch and not just go into drop coverage. And like I said, I appreciate it. Cat, I finally was able to kind of, like, I think, nail down what it is we hate so much.
All right. That's it.
You know how it's like Mike Conley, you know, that's the kind of guy that we are like, we fell in love with as Memphis basketball fans.
Right.
Like, dude, he is going to steady the ship. He's going to keep it here. Like, no matter where the waves are going, Mike's going to make sure that ship gets through the storm.
Like the conductor, right?
Karl Anthony Towns is the Kroger bag that got loose in the middle of the storm. And you always know exactly which way the wind's blowing. Like, it does not matter. Like, I can look at Karl Anthony Towns' face and I know exactly if things are going good or going bad for him. Not for the team, by the way, for Karl Anthony Towns. Like, that dude is going to give you every theatric. The dude could star in Wicked. I swear. He's out there just doing pure theater on the court when anything happens. He is going to be the guy that if they're losing or he's playing bad or if they're winning but he just got a foul, you're going to know just by looking at his face. You don't have to watch the play. Just look at the man's eyes. You can see what just happened. And he's going to hold it. If they're ahead, if they're losing, it's he's just sitting there pouting, walking back. And we hate that.
Right.
We can't stand it. And so Mike Conley, the captain of the ship, the rudder, he's getting you through the storm. Karl Anthony Towns is wherever the wind's blowing in the storm. And maybe the guy that's steering the ship is able to get him landed back safely onto the boat. But it's not because of what the paper bag decided to do. There we go.
Cat is the paper bag. Listen, plastic bag. Let's give him a plastic bag, whatever, something like.
Yeah, and he's killing sea turtles.
He is killing sea turtles. He's probably got some kind of, what are those things that you back in the day you're supposed to cut so the ducks didn't get their beaks caught in them? They'd always be around the cans. Tie?
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, the little clear thing. That was always the thing is like, cut them before you throw it in the trash so they don't get in the wherever and the ducks get their beaks caught in. Dude, that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard now. And it's probably because of one. They saw one duck near one time, and that was forever the thing. But yeah.
You don't care about the ducks?
No.
Quack, the mighty quack ducks?
Listen, I think Cat is an incredible guy. And in the fact that Anthony Edwards has spoken so highly of him, and I don't know if we all missed the actual, you know, conversation with, you know, Anthony Edwards after talking to Cat. He was like, just stop effing fouling so much. Just stop effing fouling. Like, he was pretty much mainly explaining to him, you're more valuable on the court than if you gave up that extra, like, point. That is what we've said the entire time to Jaren Jackson Jr. The exact same thing.
Yeah.
Just stop Evan Fowler. I think he's learning his lesson. And I think sometimes it comes with age, a little maturity, but basketball IQ, like, hey, I'm actually important to this team. And I think that goes a long way. But shout out to the conductor himself, Mike Conley. You know, Gobert and Cat have played well. And so shout out to those guys. For sure. But also Chris Finch, he just obviously had a one of the craziest spills I've ever seen, where Mike's like getting bumped off and then the coach is there. So Mike grabs him, tries to hold him up. And I thought it was his left knee, because that's kind of what it looked like it banged with Mike Conley. Like, I thought, oh my God, Mike Conley just hit him to where his knee buckled or his ACL, whatever. But it was actually his other knee. And I think it's because he tried to plant. And because he tried to plant, and probably he's not moving like that, moving in a grooving like that.
Didn't stretch. He's not a player.
Yeah, he didn't stretch for the – he didn't stretch the coach. So, whatever. But, yeah, prayers up to him, man. Thoughts and prayers for sure, because, dude, that's tough.
That's brutal.
But now, like, back in the day, we saw that the NCAA game, the men's basketball, where the coach was coaching on the sideline in a chair, but also – he got his little scooter with him, and he was kind of coaching on that thing. I'm curious what we see, because there's no way he's going to sit on the sideline after just having surgery, because I believe that they're going to try to do the surgery pretty quickly in between now and the next series. So he's going to have to do that. He's going to have to recover. Does that hurt them as a team? Because, dude, he's going through a major surgery.
Yeah.
Potentially painkillers, right? Potentially pain, rest, ice. All that kind of good stuff. Like, he's still actually having to keep his mental game strong as ever going against the Nuggets here. That's going to be crazy. The pressure that has to be on Chris Finch.
Well, I don't know if it's pressure. I mean, I imagine he'll probably try and get out there and coach. I'm not sure he should. I mean, honestly, like, trying to recover after major surgery and then probably being on some painkillers. I mean, mentally, I don't know how you're there. Honestly, but he'll probably try and give it a go. I'm not saying he necessarily should or shouldn't, but it's such a weird, super impactful thing to happen. It's like crazy, right? I mean, it's just you would never expect that to happen, and it could have a major impact on the series. So, yeah.
We'll see. We saw last time that his assistant coach stepped up and was like, you know, he goes, I don't want to talk and just say like the normal things that you would say, like, hey, whenever one guy, you know, steps down, the other guy steps up. He's like, but that's how it is. And he spoke, and it reminds me so much of the Grizzlies, because it seems as a culture thing that the Grizzlies are a machine. It kind of runs itself, good or bad, whatever people think, but it runs itself in a certain way that some people think it could be good or bad, whatever. But it's a culture thing where, listen, some guy gets hurt, the next guy steps up. And that's kind of how this whole thing's been built. And so I'm curious of how it all ends up going, because I do believe that they are set to spoil the Nuggets. If anybody could, I think it could be the Timberwolves. If not, the Nuggets can take out Mavs or Thunder. Would you agree?
Yeah, or Clippers.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Mavs, Clippers, Thunder, Timberwolves. Would you take Timberwolves over Thunder, Mavs, and Clippers?
I would take them over the Thunder for sure. I think I would take them over the Mavs and the Clippers. They have looked, like I said, head and shoulders more impressive. Again, it could be because of their opponent. But I think that I think it's the opposite of the Thunder's Pelicans. I thought Thunder Pelicans was a lot more about the Pelicans than it was the Thunder. I thought Wolves Suns was a lot more about the Wolves than it was about the Suns. So we'll see.
Yeah, I like it. Listen, if you had to go ahead and give this a prediction, Timberwolves or Nuggets, and then how many games?
Shoot.
Do, 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 do,
I would say Nuggies in 6. I think they would. They'd win the last one in Minnesota.
We're not Minnesota now.
We're in Minnesota now.
All right. Listen,
he might be a great dude. Seriously, he might be an awesome dude. I just hate watching him play basketball. I don't even hate watching him play basketball. I hate watching him do the things he does in between basketball plays. That's really all it is. Hate it.
No, I agree. Listen, we had a lot of stuff to talk about tonight, and I knew this is going to go, this is going to run over and be a long conversation, because we wanted to talk about a lot of teams. We didn't even really talk much about the Suns. Like, the Suns have potentially to completely blow it up. And I know that all the conversation has been around the KD. Should KD, you know, should the Grizzlies go after KD if KD is available? If I had to ask you, and you had to give me a simple answer, I don't need like, if you only had to give up Marcus Smart, Luke Kennard, G.G. Jackson, and then fillers, G.G. Jackson, Marcus Smart, Luke Kennard, and fillers, you have to assume it has to be three, maybe four first-round picks. As Jack Move Johnny says, I'm out on 36-year-old KD. Would you do that? And why would you not if you didn't want to do it?
No, because GG. And it's just not because we have – I've seen a lot of that. We have KD at home. We have Paul George at home type stuff, right? I know because of – but GG is – 100%, like, you're hoping the peak of GG is like a Paul George or Kevin Durant. And so, like, that you, there's one side of the argument that says, okay, then why would you turn down a Paul George or a Kevin Durant for GG? Age matters, and you're only getting a max, what, 2 years of Kevin Durant? Durant that you like want, which, by the way, may not be what you actually get.
I think KD can be good if he's not the first option. And he's worked into a system that benefits him. The system in Phoenix, I said from day one, was not going to work. Like, it's the same guys, all three of the same player. Like, we don't have a KD on this team.
Of course.
He fits in, and the window for 2 years is wide the F open.
Of course.
But how much of that window do you close after the 2 years? That's the issue. And I think we've seen – like, the way these teams have gone, two years of an open window, listen, that is great.
Well,
but if you could have 6 years of a less open but still open window, I think you have to take it. Look at right now.
Maybe, but I'm just like, I think we've seen enough from like a GG. Same thing. I don't think the Grizz are a big swing away. I think they are small right moves away. Same as it's been for years.
Yeah.
So if you can do like a Smart and a Kennard, plus like they'll take Jake LaRavia, whatever.
Obviously. Pick. So the issue is GG.
Yeah, it's GG because I think GG has a chance to fit within the timeline and like extend the window. Like not just like – not only do you also be short in the window with KD, I think there's a better than good chance GG helps extend the window for the Grizzlies. Like, GG is that level of talent. Mm. And then, actually, this comment you just pulled up about KD is another reason I would say no. I'm not convinced KD is a perfect vet that just loves the hoop. That dude has been unhappy everywhere he's been.
Yeah.
Everywhere he's been. It's the same thing, like, with LeBron. Of course, LeBron James makes your team better. No one's going to argue that from a basketball standpoint. Yeah. It's the sideshow and the franchise being held hostage in the way, like, what kind of position do you think the Lakers are in when LeBron James is gone? The same position the Cavs were in until they were able to really flip things around and like completely rebuild. Like, I don't want that. And I'm not convinced KD is just like a happy, wants to hoop. Like, what's to say he's going to be happy in Memphis? He hasn't been happy in Brooklyn. Yeah. He wasn't happy in the Bay Area. He's not happy in Phoenix. I got bad news, man. There's no nightlife or sun in Memphis that can compete with any other place he's been. Or pretty water.
It's just hooping here, man.
Listen, I love my Tennessee ladies, but those cities probably got that beat too. Like, what is in Memphis that's going to keep KD happy?
Winning. That's it.
What do you think? Basketball?
That's the only thing
that can happen anywhere else.
That's it.
But that's the thing is, like, I'm not convinced he is the perfect vet to come through to, you know?
My thing is, and this is me to a T. Like, I'm down with making moves. I'm down with going after whatever players. But my issue, I play everything safe. Like, I am very much, I will go at something that I believe in. I will fight for it. I will be your bulldog, your pit bull. Like, I promise you, that is my mentality. I am that dude. But I play it safe to the fact of I have to know if I'm going to fight what the direction is and what's going to come from this. The only thing I know is that KD is really good at basketball. I know that if we don't have to give up a guy like GG Jackson, our window is wide the F open for 2 years, right? Yeah.
Yes.
The problem is, why would Phoenix do that? That doesn't make sense. They can get 4 picks from anybody. They can get 2 guys that are on 1 or 2 year deals from anybody. Why would they do that with Memphis? It doesn't make sense. That means that they would have to have GG. But at that point, at what cost, just like if you get LeBron, at what cost does that act to get a player like that? You've talked about where he's been every time. Let's talk about, like you said, LeBron. Cavs, garbage. Garbage. Then they had to go ahead and be in the cellar for many years. I would probably trade in 6 years of potentially having the window open, potentially being able to be a championship team, then 2 years of knowing that we were a championship team. Because realistically, you're only one injury away. You're one injury away no matter what. So if you have 6 years, I just need one of those years to not be injury riddled, maybe 2, and I like my odds better. That's where I land, and I love KD. If we get him, I would not, I wouldn't send GG. That's just me. And if that's the call, I don't even think GG is that amazing. I just know that GG is cheap, really cheap for you. And I think you can spend your money elsewhere.
Well,
and I think that's where it comes down to for me.
I also think GG's going to be amazing. I think if he taps into that talent, it's there.
Yeah. It's there.
100%. Also, give me a center with that money and then a couple of vets. I'd rather have that, if I'm being honest with you.
That's it.
That's what we're all want.
If I could give you 2 different scenarios, and this is off the dome, okay? But if I gave you 2 different scenarios, and it was KD, and you have to send out GG, okay, right? And Smart and Luke, right? But everything else works. Nobody else is gone. But you do have KD, and you're going to be really good. You can have that, or you can make a move with one of those guys and maybe send out Smart, send out Luke, whoever. Bring back a guy like Isaiah Hartenstein in a sign-and-trade deal, potentially, or you just sign him free agent-wise, and you go get maybe another guy like the ideal of Bobby Portis, right, or another guy who is a crafty vet. I'm trying to think of somebody that would be easy that you add in.
Bojangles.
Yeah. You go get like a Bojangles, somebody cheaper, you know, somebody towards the tail end of their career, but somebody cheaper, not Bojangles because he's not cheap. Neither one of the Bojangles are cheap. But like, I think I would take the fillers to give your 8 better than the others, because if not, I think you're hamstrung at that point.
Your top 8, if you can just fill out that center spot, is pretty, pretty killer, right?
Yeah.
You got Ja, Bane, Vince, Jaren, and in this spot, I'm assuming we have to trade Smart, right? I'm assuming that's probably the piece we have to get off of. So I'm gonna say Ja, Bane, Vince, Jaren, center, Gigi, Luke, Brandon. That's your top 8, most likely. Yeah. Then throw in Asante, throw in a D Rose, throw in whoever. But then you augment with a couple of vets instead of Jake LaRavia, instead of whatever. All of a sudden, you're in a great, great place, right? Yeah. And that Portis contract, listen, I'm always keeping tabs on Bobby Portis. That's happening. So I've looked at his contract, not in a long time, but not in the craziest amount of time. My light decided it was going off.
Did you time out at an hour?
No, yeah. It was like, hey, man, I am tired.
Bruh, decided, I'm getting hot over here.
So he's 4 years, 48, so basically 12 million a year. Boom! Make it happen!
Yeah.
I'm going to turn this light back on now.
All right, so going back, let's go back to Allen real quick because I think Allen's exactly where we are, okay? He would love to have KD. I would love to have KD too. But he's saying that, listen, I'm not going to give up GG for a guy that's going to be 36, you know, next year off of an Achilles. Like, he's only a year removed from the Achilles. Smart and Kennard, bro, you can send them out for anybody right. that is a decent player, and you could sell me 100%. I think Luke helps your team. I think he is a specialist. I think if you can afford, just like I've always said, he's a luxury item. If you can afford to have a luxury item like Kennard, fine. Smart does not fit our team. I think Smart is a great player. I think he is phenomenal. If you have somebody with size next to Ja, it doesn't work for me. And I've said that from day one. I wouldn't be shocked if we get to the start of this game one and we don't have Marcus Smart on the team. But if he is on the team, it's not bad. He can be traded throughout the season. That wouldn't be a thing either. But I think that they could maybe just say, hey, let's roll the ball out. Let's see how good we are. And then, you know what? Then we'll make a suggestion. But we'll see.
Also, Ja Morant's getting paid. Jaren Jackson's getting paid.
That's true, too.
Desmond Bane's getting paid.
That's also true.
You're pretty much going to have to pay a center. Not sure how good the camera is at this point. But those would be Kevin Durant's numbers.
50?
53. 49, then 53.
Crazy.
Yeah, dude. That's... You saw what just happened with that Suns roster. I don't necessarily need that happening here.
Well, the only way you can, all right, so let's say you gave the Suns GG and Vince Williams on that team. They look a lot better, right? And that's the difference is you struck gold with two guys in Vince Williams and GG who have exceptional contracts. That's the why. That's why you can make a swing. Because, listen – we have Bane, Ja, and Jaren locked up. We need a big. If you go get KD, a big will come here on the cheap. A big could potentially come here on the cheap no matter what. Like, you could have a guy like Andre Drummond, and I'm not against Andre Drummond at all. You could have a guy like Andre Drummond say, hey, listen, I'll come play your 25 minutes a night and be your banger, like, by all means. So I don't think it's an issue at all. I think that they need a big. They're going to get a big. Zach Kleiman said they're going to get a big. I think KD is a luxury item that you can say, hey, we have the potential to swing. We've never swung before, but we can throw a haymaker and land. I think you make that decision, but you have to make that decision without sending John GG. I don't know if I was Phoenix, I wouldn't do it because I think you can find a team stupid enough to say, hey, I love KD and I want KD. I just don't think the Grizzlies would send out GG to make that move happen.
Probably not.
I don't think it would happen then. So
Probably not.
All right. Listen, that's all we got tonight. We're not going to do the Read My Lips segment as we always do. I love it, and I think it's going to be a new thing for us. But we spent so much time on this, but also we want to spend time on talking through all these things. And the KD thing is the hot topic, as we say, right now. So we're going to have you paint your fingernails for next week. But listen,
Caleb Williams,
we do have some exceptional and incredible sponsors to the show. Streetcars of Memphis, regular maintenance to your car, plus all the modifications, speakers, lights, lifts, and wheels. They can modify them all. Go ahead and use the code GRIZZ901. Receive $55 oil change. But if you want full synthetic, $65. Oil change at cost. Huge savings taking place down at Streetcars of Memphis. Check them out online at 901scm.com or call 901-323-3332 to schedule your oil change, maintenance, or customization service today. All right. The other two, I thought you might have one. I thought you might actually.
Huge.
I was waiting for that.
King of the transition.
All right, so Pews, amazing. Listen, I brag about Pews probably the most because I see them every day. I look around my neighborhood, and I'm not saying that I have the best yard on the street because there are some nice yards.
What an old man brag.
But I promise you, I see other companies come through here and spray yards, and I cut my yard. And I don't see the weeds that these other guys are seeing in their yards right now. Mine looks very good. If you need somebody to spray your yard, call Pews Residential Spray. They've been around for 30-plus years servicing the Mid-South, but they are now doing residential lawn service. Pews Residential Spray can take care of all your weed control and fertilization needs. If you want that perfect weed-free lawn, you can call Pews Residential Spray today for a free estimate, 901-633-2118. Let them know the Careers Animal Crew sent you. Remember, Pews, you get big company strength, small company values. And our last guy, sent from heaven. Heaven's Healthy Kitchen is a grassroots business that was started right here in Memphis. Chef Smith, Memphian, through and through, promotes healthy eating and wellness. But if you're looking to cook at home, go ahead and get the cookbook. Chef Smith does a great job with his cookbook. Make sure you go check it out. I promise you, it'll make you a better cook. But Heaven's Healthy Kitchen continues to do pop-ups, so make sure you tune in to the next one. We'll let you know exactly when we find out it is. But if you want to go ahead and find out and keep up to date yourself, go over to orderhhk.com, servicing and catering plant-based and vegan foods straight to you. Nate, anything else that you have for the rest of this week? these have been fun. I enjoy getting
a good time.
A chance to talk. We end up going longer than I expect most of the time. But anything else that you want to hit on before we get out of here?
No, let's save it for next week. I think there's some just to give a little teaser, little tease. I think there's some fun stuff to talk about with the whole face of the league thing. I think we both have some thoughts on that we can share next time. But there'll be plenty of time to talk about that as these series keep going. So other than that, man, I'm just having a lot of fun. I got to actually we've talked, got some personal stuff going on. Life's been pretty stressful lately. Been hard for me to keep up with much. Got to actually sit and watch playoff basketball for the past week, and it was awesome. Ton of fun watching it. So I'm just enjoying it, man. It's fun to get on here and talk just general basketball, and we don't have to sit there and worry about the Grizzlies losing 60 games or whatever it was this year.
For sure. And listen, I know that we do not have the same – fan base in the off season. I do not listen to any basketball podcast right now.
Yeah.
Like zero. So I listen, if you come in, stop, sometimes hang out for 15 minutes and you don't listen to another minute, by all means, thank you. If you come in and listen to a minute, you listen to the whole entire show. If you come in live, thank you. But we're going to be here because me and Nate are honestly enjoy each other's company. We enjoy hanging out with you. We're always going to make sure that we do this on Tuesday nights throughout the Grizzlies, the summer league. And so you're going to have us here every Tuesday night at 9:01 coming to you live just to make sure that we have a chance to talk a little bit of basketball, talk a little bit about what's happening. We're going to make sure we have some draft people on. So as soon as Mother's Day hits, one, go to Pews, get your flowers. But make sure after that you tune in. We're going to have some draft coverage, and that might actually get some people tuning in. We'll have some draft people talking about it. Probably not Nate as much, right? Because he is a
draft expert,
draft dummy. But then we're going to have some look aheads to the guys that we actually drafted. And so there's going to be a lot of fun things that we're going to talk about right now. It's a lull. We didn't expect to be here either at this point of the
season, to be honest.
But it has been fun. We want to make sure that we're doing as much as we can for you all. So make sure you keep tuning in if you can live. If not, check us out. Listen, don't forget, we are audio. You can catch us anywhere. Spotify, Apple, Amazon, wherever you can listen audio, we'll be there. If you want to watch the video, you can find it at YouTube. But also, you can find it on Spotify. If you like to watch the video as well, we always upload the video to Spotify. So that's it. It's been fun. It's been good. It's been over an hour, so that means it's time to go. You can catch me in the morning. I'll be at 9 o'clock Central. I'll be on Driving the Line. I'm having so much fun.
Y'all are crushing it too.
If you're a better, do me a favor.
Not if you're a better, if you're a winner.
If you're a winner.
If you like to win money, watch the show. These guys cash. I'm in stuck in freaking Utah, so I can't even make any of the plays. But these guys stay making money, man. It's wild.
I appreciate that. I just literally just got called out right now on my phone by Coach. Coach is if you don't know Coach, Coach is formerly WWE, ESPN, CBS, all the big brands, calling me out. He's not the biggest fan of me. But yeah, so I'll be on there. We haven't, he hasn't been on the show all week cause he calls golf a lot. And so tomorrow I have something up my sleeve for him. So as soon as I get done with this show, I have to do some work to make sure I get, all my ducks in a row for him. He doesn't know it and he's not watching the show, so he'll never know, but I have a surprise for him in the morning. So make sure you tune in at 9 a.m. to Driving the Line. It's going to be fun, but that's all we got. It's always a blast to be here with you. You too, Nate. All right. That's it. See y'all. Be nice. Tell your friends.